elements of right living. The knowledge of Vedanta infuses the elements of right living in your physical, mental, and intellectual personalities. Your actions develop a spirit of service. Your emotions become chastened with love and other positive emotions. Your thinking is rendered clear and divine. Maintain these disciplines through daily study and reflection on the sublime truths of life. You then become attached to the higher aspects of life, consequently detached from the lower. You live an ideal life, evolve to the highest state of perfection. Two broad principles govern human action, based on the attitude of giving or taking. If the attitude of taking prevails in a society, it breeds selfish demands and desires in its members. As a result, they are infested with stress and strain. Let their attitude change to giving and drop their selfishness. They enjoy harmony, peace, and happiness. The dignity of the human race is founded on the principles of giving. Victor Hugo highlights this great principle. Life is to give, not to take. No person has a right to claim anything as is. He ought not to desire, demand from the society. Perhaps his only right in the world is to give, to serve. Be content to serve, pleaded Christ. Serve the world, the entire world stands in obeisance before you. Objects and beings will be at your beck and call. You become a master, no servant. That is the law of life. The moment you are born, the good world provides you with everything you need. Oxygen to breathe, mother's milk, the right temperature within and without, pressure inside and outside, and countless other things. You become totally indebted to the world. You must therefore maintain a sense of gratitude through your life. And serve the world, serve the society, serve one and all. This is the first of the elements of right living. The attitude of service maintains your spiritual well-being. The Bhagavad Gita says, it is criminal to consume the resources of the world without contributing to it. He who eats without producing is verily a thief. Religion educates you to acknowledge the benevolence that nature provides you and to realize your obligation, duty, responsibility to repay. You are best when you are best at repaying. So must you perform your obligatory duties. But people take their duties as a heavy burden resting on their shoulders. Few realize that the greatest contributions of humanity can never compensate for the largesse of nature. All the material work you can offer is immaterial. Yet everybody hurries and worries about his work. Your approach to life should be just to do what you ought to do. That is the beginning and end of your obligation. You are not to brood over or become excited about your duty and responsibility. Your real duty in life is to remain self-poised, self-pleased. Your primary service to the world, your religious duty, is to keep yourself peaceful and cheerful. To be sorrowful and miserable is a social, moral, religious crime. you ought not to spread the disease of melancholy to your fellow beings. Instead, rejuvenate their health with joy and happiness. This attitude must blend with your work. The law of life is that you laugh and the world laughs with you. Weep and none weeps with you. Rejoice, be cheerful, and people flock around you. Grieve, be miserable, they leave you alone. The world shares your pleasures, but not your woes. A human being brings sorrow and misery upon himself because of his ego and selfish desires. This happens when you focus your interest and attention upon your material equipments. The demands of the body, mind, and intellect are endless. They can never be satiated. As a result, your mind remains disturbed, restless. You are in a hellish state. You lose the paradise in you. To regain the bliss within, you need to change the focus from your ego to the divine self. The self in you is supreme, ever blissful. Leave the quarantine of your body, mind, and intellect. Seek the self. Try to be aware of the self through your life's transactions. While acting with your body, feeling with your mind, or thinking with your intellect, remember, you are the supreme self. You will soon regain yourself. As you think, so you become. Put this sacred law into practice. The second element of right living is love. While the physical body engages in action, let your mind embrace the world with love. Your emotions coalesce into a mass of universal love. Love is realizing your identity with the world, your oneness with the whole, failing which you are lost in an island of your own. You segregate yourself from others. You suffer the sorrow of separation, isolation. Samuel Taylor Coleridge presents this truth effectively in his poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. The poem narrates the experience of a mariner at sea. The mariner started his voyage with his heart full of love. He described the beauty of the creatures appearing in the sea. Everything turned out favorable. The ship sailed on merrily. Then came a change in the mariner's attitude. He lost love for his fellow creatures, even developed a bitterness, contempt for them. One day, as the ship was sailing along the shore, an albatross flew into it. The mariner drew his crossbow and shot it. Thereafter, he suffered a series of calamities at sea and was tortured with mental agony. Then came a change again in the mariner's attitude. Once again, he appreciated nature and her beautiful creatures. Love seeped into his parched bosom. His heart embraced his fellow creatures. He regained his harmony with nature, was happy again. Everything thereafter turned favorable. He returned to the peace and happiness of land. Coleridge epitomizes this great message in one verse. He prayeth well, who loveth well, both man and bird and beast. He prayeth best, who loveth best, all things both great and small. Thou shalt have no other god but love is the first law of Moses. people have violated this sacred law. Love is not a preferential attachment to beings. Love means identification with others, to feel exactly the same way as another does. Nothing more. What pleases others pleases you. What pains them pains you. Your pleasure and pain align with those of your fellow creatures. This is true love. A feeling that emanates from a pure mind, which keeps clear of distinction and demarcation, wherein you see yourself reflected in all. As you see your own self in different mirrors, with pure love you rise to greater spiritual heights. And when the same emotion of love turns selfish, it degrades you. You devolve. Remember, therefore, to rise in love, not fall in love. The third element of right living is knowledge. As the body serves and the mind loves, the intellect must seek true knowledge. The knowledge that distinguishes the spirit from matter, that discerns the eternal from ephemeral, the real from the unreal, the knowledge which enables you to perceive the underlying divinity in all beings, the changeless substratum in the changing phenomena of this world. Such knowledge is derived through independent reflection and contemplation upon the truths laid down in the scriptures. It is not mere erudition or scholarship in scriptural literature, but the assimilation and absorption of the knowledge embedded therein, the knowledge that reveals the self within. People have distanced themselves from the self, unaware of their essential being, they are lost in ignorance. The ignorance of self manifests as three mental temperaments.